Troubled by his radical teaching, many disciples no longer followed Jesus and returned to their former way of life. Jesus asks, "Will you also go away?" We continue our series on the thought-provoking sayings of Jesus with The Narrow Way, this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on The Narrow Way as we continue the series on the things that Jesus said that really get us thinking. Here's our Crossing the Goal team, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, founder and president of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, or FOCUS, Curtis Martin, and former All-Pro wide receiver and former NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, it's good to be back together again. We're talking about The Narrow Way from John 6, verse 60. The guys that left Jesus when he was talking about what you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, they say, this is a hard saying. Mm-hmm. Who can listen to it? You know, Danny, some of the things that the church teaches are pretty hard.
It is amazing. If you think of it, truly, truly, I say, whoever eats my flesh or drinks my blood has eternal life. That's a pretty strong statement.
Yes.
And the Catholic Church has taken a lot of these statements and incorporated it into the teaching of the Catholic Church. And, you know, it's not easy to follow it. But what we want to do many times, I'll take this one, but not this one. A lot of times we want to take the easy way out and not take the way that Jesus wants us to go.
I mean, that's the sharp edge of the two-edged sword. You know, everybody is ready to receive Jesus' teaching, like, you know, I love you, and he's compassionate, he's going to save you, he's going to do all the good stuff. And then when some of the things he says, they're shocking, they disrupt, they're difficult to take. And so what happens is people turn away, and Jesus says, will you also go away? That's a fundamental question for us right now. It's a question he's asking everybody in the church. Lots of people are opting out because they're saying, it's just getting a little too narrow for me. It doesn't make any sense to me, so I'm heading out. It's the same challenge. It's the same way Jesus confronts our hearts. He exposes our hearts through this kind of teaching. Where are we really at in relationship to his lordship and his authority over our lives?
And Jesus does this in history, but we have to recognize that the church does this through history. She's the sure guide that continues to safeguard these challenging teachings, because otherwise we're gonna rub the hard edges off, sit back, well, you know, I think what he really meant, and we'll make it comfortable.
Right.
But we need to understand that when Jesus turned to the apostles, he said, he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and if they reject me, they reject him who sent me. So there's a lining up of fidelity to Jesus Christ and to the Catholic Church that he founded.
Amen.
So that broad highway looks very tempting, but Jesus is the narrow way. Peter and Curtis have a game plan for the narrow way next here on Crossing the Goal.
Welcome back. We're in the game plan. We're going to break things open here. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck. The topic is the narrow way, and Jesus is talking about some of the challenging things. He is aware that what he's teaching us is going to challenge us. In fact, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he says this in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and few are those who find it." So this is a challenge. He's saying, look, guys, if you're on your own, you're not going to find this, because it's really easy to find the broad way. But if you will listen to me, I will show you a path that leads to life. But that path is going to be filled with challenges and difficulties.
Yeah.
Give me some examples.
Jesus is so clear. He's saying, look, the narrow way is my way, and my way is difficult. Now we come to see that the narrow way is as wide as the person of Jesus himself. And what Jesus is doing is he's presenting to us his life, his way of life, and what he's called us to. The reading that Brian referred to at the open was Jesus' teaching about the Eucharist, about giving his body and blood for us. Let me just read this from, this is John chapter 6. I'll jump in at verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is real drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died, but he who eats this bread will live forever. This is he who said in the synagogue, as he taught, the same thing in Capernaum.
No, and when you think about this, and this would be tough for you and I to hear, because what exactly is Jesus talking about? Yeah. Are you saying, Lord, that we're going to have to be cannibals, we have to eat flesh and drink blood? And for the Jewish listener, this was even more provocative, because there were clear directives not to drink blood of any kind. And here Jesus is saying, if you want to have life, you're going to have to come to me. So he's really challenging us intellectually. What exactly is he saying? And so how do we respond? I mean, what goes on here? Is this are we supposed to say this is figurative? He's just talking? What's the issue?
He's literally saying you need to feed on my body. Yep. My body's real food. The words that are used there is to gnaw on it, to chew on it. And Jesus is the life for the world. And God has decided that through the sacrament, through the Eucharist, those who are his disciples are fed by him, literally, with spiritual food that will lead to eternal life. So this is part of God's plan. The situation is such that their world is so rocked. They said, look, this just blows our categories. How can anybody be expected to believe this?
Yeah,
this is crazy. This is insane.
And it might be the largest crowd Jesus ever speaks to. In context, he's just fed 5,000. This is an enormous crowd that he has. And they're listening to him. I mean, they're obviously engaged. They've seen him work miracles. They hear, and what's the response of many?
They turn away. Most of the people turn away, and they say, we can't take it. I mean, how can anybody believe this? And then what does Jesus do? He turns to the disciples and he said, are you going to leave too?
And really the disciples give a great response. Peter actually speaks for them, and he doesn't say, well, Jesus, I think the word you're searching for is transubstantiation.
Yeah.
You know, that word's going to come later. It's a true word, but that's not. Yeah. Peter has no idea what Jesus is saying, but he has come to put all of his trust and confidence in Jesus. And so he's saying, I don't know where else I'd go because you have the words of everlasting life. Amen. So I'm in. Yeah. And I'm hoping along the way you'll explain it to me. But right now, my brain is in a cramp right now because I don't know, I don't understand what you're saying.
And this is the point of crisis where our minds are confounded, and what gets revealed is our heart in relationship to God, in relationship to Jesus. When you become a disciple, Jesus made it very clear, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Part of the denial of self is denying the reliance I have on myself to get it all figured out. Like the Proverbs says, Proverbs 3, I think it says, you know, do not rely on your own understanding. And at the end of the day, when Jesus teaches something, if we don't get it, it still requires, and he calls us to lay down our life and to follow him and just to trust in his wisdom and not our own.
Okay, so we talked about the Eucharist, challenging teaching from the scriptures, but today, Peter, there are a lot of people, men and women, walking through modern life, and there's challenging teachings today which Jesus taught and the church continues to protect. Yeah. What are some of those teachings?
I wrote down a list of these last night before I went to bed. It says, Jesus commands us to have one wife for life, right? No contraception, Mass every Sunday, confession to a priest, no same-sex marriage, tithing is part of life as a disciple, got to forgive your enemies. He's actually in the wafer. God himself is there in the Eucharist. Abortion is always wrong. No premarital sex, can't live with my girlfriend. In vitro fertilization violates the dignity of human life, can't do that. There's a lot of things that we look at and we say, people say all the time, baptized people, they look at these and say, you know what, I just don't buy it. It's too narrow, it's too confining, it's time for me to back away. It's too judgmental, it's too hateful, it's too bigoted, it's this, that, or the other thing. And along the way, what gets revealed is what their heart's really attached to.
Right.
Is it really attached to Christ and his glory and obedience to him and the truth that he reveals, or am I invested in something else?
And it's not that he's trying to judge us about whether or not we're faithful in these issues. He's saying, if you want to follow me, this is how you're going to live. And if you won't follow me, you're not trusting me. And if you won't trust me, I can't be your Savior. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Coach, these are hard teachings. Those guys did a good job about mapping this out, but it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah, let's try one more time to get these guys to try to follow the narrow way, huh? Let's do it.
And we'll talk about ways that we have been tempted to turn the other way from Jesus in the Red Zone next. We're now in the red zone. We continue our series on the really tough sayings of Jesus that really get us thinking, and we're on the narrow way. And Peter, this narrow way doesn't have to be confining.
No, I was just thinking as I was reading the list up there, a lot of times we relate to those things as negatives. People say, oh, it's too confining, it's too narrowing, it's too much of a burden. God doesn't want me to live that. He wants me to be happy. These things aren't going to make me happy. But indeed, what they are is the truth that Christ reveals about the narrow way that leads to life. That's the point of it. He's saying, come on, the narrow way is going to lead to life, to happiness, to fullness. And we look at those and say, it's too much, though. I don't want to do that. Jesus said, let me help you do it, and I'll show you it's the way to life.
They're like a freeway on-ramp. People sit back and say, well, it's so narrow. Yeah, but you can't get on the freeway if you don't get there. Once you're on, you're in. And people miss that. And we have to recognize this is the man who has the greatest wisdom. He's the God-man. And he's telling you, I have a secret to life. Come with me.
Yeah. You know, I can, Curtis, I can relate to what you're saying there. Because a lot of people, when you start reading that stuff and then I start reflecting back, which I like to do a lot of times, you know, it's easy to point the finger sometimes. Then you start really looking back and say, when I was walking in darkness a lot of the times, a lot of this stuff did not make sense. And I sort of, well, that's not, you know, I don't have to really do that. I just need to do this. And then once I come to realize and said, yeah, this is right. I got to follow this path. I know that this path leads. These other paths, I see where they lead me to destruction. And I made some certain things I thought, like the Eucharist. I believe, this is me, in the real presence of Jesus Christ. That's why I go to Mass daily. Through the power of the Holy Spirit gives me a conviction in my heart that I believe it. Secondly, confession. I know that confession, not only to confess my sins, the graces I get. I want to go to confession. I feel good about going to confession. And I want to honor God, and I'm going to go to confession monthly. My wife wants me to go more often.
So do I.
Smartly.
Right. Abortion. Like you mentioned, abortion is only one person's in charge of life, and that's Christ. Period. Mm-hmm. I don't care what else. If he wants that child to come into this world, that child comes in this world. Next, marriage. Marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. Period. Mm-hmm. Lastly, prayer. In order to grow in my faith, or anyone out here, you have to have a prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, none of this will make sense. It has to start with a prayer life. These are sort of the concepts that I try to use in my life.
I wonder if you guys would be willing to talk a little bit about a time or situations where you have been tempted to also go. In other words, to turn away from Christ like those disciples because it was too hard.
Well, you'd be sitting at a dinner party and somebody comes up and they say something, maybe it's the pro-abortion statement or there's some issue where one of these controversial issues come up. I think right now, same-sex marriage is probably the issue where you just feel like you're completely out of line with the rest of reality if you say, I disagree. But I, for me, what I've tried to do is personalize that. I want to imagine that at that same dinner party, Jesus is sitting there and he's looking at me saying, you going to stand up for me?
Right.
Because he's got a position. Or are you going to remain silent? Because in my life, what has made the most sense out of life is defining all of my actions in light of personal loyalty to Jesus Christ. And how would I act if he were in the room, if he were watching me, if he's sitting back saying, I'm waiting for you to take lead on this. Whether it's me forming my personal opinions or articulating them in a broader group. But there are times I've been tested going, this is just not the right time. It's going to be awkward. And I'm tempted to back up.
I mean, there were times in my life when early in my marriage, the issue of contraception, though I theoretically said, I accept the church's teaching because I accept everything that the church teaches. But there are a couple times when I was nervous about our situation, our family, and having another child at a particular time. And these thoughts would go through my head like, well, it's actually not that bad, is it, in this situation, given our circumstances, and just maybe. And then you could find enough priests or enough people, Catholics, who'd say, that's actually true, and follow your conscience and all the rest of that. That really meant follow your fears or follow your own understanding or relying on your own understanding and that kind of thing. So I was tempted to do that sort of thing, or even to think something as simple as, the church, to miss Mass on Sunday. It's a mortal sin. I said, come on, seriously? A mortal sin?
Right.
A little sin, but a mortal sin? And so at a time in my life, even after I had really given my life to the Lord, there were times where I chose lightly and I relied on my own understanding, mostly because I wanted to feed my own flesh. You know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. So what I do is just take the Lord's teaching and reduce it down and say it goes to a venial level or a smaller level, a manageable level. And I determine it so because it makes sense to me. You know, and this is the problem we're facing right now with all these issues that we listed. Are people Catholics? So many people are just simply saying, "Look, this doesn't make sense to me, so therefore, I don't have to do it. I'm going to jump ship and I'm going to trust my own understanding because it's too narrow and it's too limiting." And that's just wrong. That's not the mind of a disciple.
Well, there's not any specific times in my life that I said I did this, but if I look in general at terms times in my life, it would be, I wanted to go my way. You know, would it felt good? I wanted to party. I wanted to do this. I was in a drinking mode or stinking thinking, really was. And then once I start realizing, I said, wait a minute, this is, am I going to do my way or am I going to follow the Lord's way? Because people say, well, Danny, you're pretty adamant about this. This isn't about me. None of this is me. This is all Christ's teaching. None of this is my stuff. As we're talking here, this is none about any of us. This is about what Christ teaches.
And this is the important part, because in the game plan, Peter, you went to John chapter 6, and you look at what the people did when they decided to filter Jesus' words according to their own understanding.
Right. Yeah.
And when they did that, when we do that, we have to recognize that there's a huge problem there. When you do that, you stop following.
Right.
And you can't say, well, I'll follow Jesus and all the other stuff. Yeah. But in this one, no. He's Lord. And if you're going to follow him, then you need to follow everything he says. He can't be 98% Lord. Yeah. That's not Lord at all. Yeah. And so to be able to have this sense, and I don't think most people realize the consequence of saying, I'm going to opt out of this one thing. When you do that, you take yourself out of the role of disciple.
Yeah.
It's a huge issue.
Go ahead, Danny.
I think that we need to get this across to people. It's not easy. It's not easy to be Catholic. This is all difficult stuff to follow on an ongoing basis. The world tells you, no, that's not the way. This is the way. And the Lord says, no, this is the way. And he allows us a free will to choose. Are you going to, Danny, are you going this path or this one? Yeah. Go ahead. But there's see, here's what we don't realize. There's consequences. I don't think we're hearing that out here now.
Yeah.
There is consequences to our decision making.
Yeah.
God allows us to do it. Go ahead and do it. But Danny, there's a consequence. Do you understand that?
Lord. And one of the things that we miss the life that the Lord promises us in this world when we back away from the difficult things he calls us to, because he leads us all in those difficult things where we have to let go. And we have to let go of relying on ourselves and our own strength and our own understanding. We have to trust him. And then he takes us through those difficulties. He reveals his covenant faithfulness. He reveals his power. He reveals his love. And he shows us we can get through it in him.
Right.
And we begin to experience life because we can trust him. We experience that he's faithful, and it begins to transform and change us. If we live in our own world where we're in control, we hold all the levers, we're in charge of everything, we never get to that place in experiencing the Lord and the trust that he deserves
and
the life that it gives.
And a lot of times, we don't want to go the tough way. In order to be a good doctor, a good lawyer, a good preacher, a good priest, a good father, a good husband, it's hard work. You got to work at it. You have to work at these things.
Yeah.
We want to take the easy way. There's no easy way. It's the hard way. He tells us in there, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be real, real, real hard without me. With me, it's still going to be hard, but you can do it with
me.
But
he who endures till the end then will be saved. The one who does it all the way to the end will be saved.
Well, this scripture that we focused on in John 6 is really personal to me, and I love Peter's response, your namesake, St. Peter. When you know, Jesus said, will you also go? Peter says, Lord, but to whom should I go?
Right.
Whom would I go? And I totally relate to that, because I am tempted sometimes to turn away. I am tempted sometimes to take the easier, softer way. But I hear those words of Jesus saying, will you also go? And then I know, where else am I going to turn? So I'm really grateful for that. Have you guys experienced that in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I keep thinking of St. Paul's teaching from 2 Corinthians, where he said, you know, Jesus died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. And that's the transfer that's going on in each one of us. And, you know, we stumble and fall. We take one step forward, two steps back sometimes. But that's the direction that the Lord is leading us into. So we live to please him.
Well, the last word on the narrow way coming up from the end zone next. And we'll get into our email bag here on Crossing the Goal. We have crossed the goal. We're in the end zone now on Crossing the Goal, looking at the narrow way. And before our team members get the last word on the subject of the day, let's go to our email bag. We have an email from Kevin in Leawood, Kansas. He says, I'm a young father with young children looking to live out my Catholic faith. What are some simple ways to be the spiritual head of my household, Coach?
The best way is live it out yourself. The Mass, communion, confession, prayer life, being there with your children. Some people are there physically, but not there emotionally, spiritually, and the whole thing. Be there present for your children.
And I think, too, to realize that you're not alone in it, to catch the Lord's vision. You know, your home, your wife, your children belong to the Lord. You're a priest in your own household. And something simple I learned really early on as I gave my life to the Lord with the help of a married guy, said, you know what, begin your day with your face in the carpet. Begin your day praying and begging God to give you the grace to bring His will into your house, first into your own life and heart, but into your whole house. And as you do that every day, watch how the Lord leads you to help you raise your children to be godly disciples.
Yeah. Take out the garbage, put the toilet seat down. I mean, start with the basics.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another one from Joey, Alpena, Michigan, who says, what did you guys think of World Youth Day and Pope Francis?
It was a home run. But...
absolutely amazing. I mean, you think about one of the largest gatherings of humanity in the history of the world, and here is a church that continues to, the press would say, we're shrinking, we're dying, we're irrelevant, and all of a sudden here's this amazing pope standing on the shoulders of hundreds of other popes leading in the name of Jesus Christ, and the world still wants to listen. So we have a vibrant message, but we need to get it out to people. But the World Youth Day, absolute home run.
Yeah, I love the fact that World Youth Day was conceived by Pope John Paul II. Benedict actually planned World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, and then we have our first South American Pope there present with more than 3 million young people on the
beach. You know what I was wondering, guys? There was 3 million kids on the beach. I like to be in the outhouse business.
And the messages down. The Holy Father gave were absolutely fantastic. You know, challenging young people, go home to your diocese and make a mess and disrupt things a little bit. And the challenge that he gave was just great. He's always an inspiration.
A little holy chaos.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so the last word now on the narrow way. Let's start with Peter Herbeck.
Just one simple thing, friends. I want to challenge you this week. Is there one area in your life that you know that the Lord has called you to give over to Him that you're holding on to because you don't have confidence that your life is going to go well? I challenge you this week, take that before the Lord. Go find a Eucharistic chapel somewhere and get on your knees and say, Jesus, I'm going to obey You and I'm going to give this area to You and pray for the grace and watch what He does.
I think it's so important, Peter, because my encouragement would be that we personalize this, that we recognize that each of the decisions in our life is actually a reflection of our fidelity, our loyalty to the person of Jesus Christ, who's calling us to be an intentional disciple of His. This is what He says. So everyone who acknowledges Me before men, I will also acknowledge before My Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I will also deny before My Father who's in heaven. There's going to be a day in my life and in yours when you're going to want nothing more than to have Jesus Christ acknowledge you in front of His Father. Amen. So live that way now.
Men, I would challenge you to figure out in your life what teaching or teachings in the church that really you struggle with. And I ask you to go to EWTN.com or CatholicAnswers.com, and they'll help you work your way through the teaching.
And be sure to visit CrossingTheGoal.com. We'd love to get an email from you if you are using our small group resources in your small group. Next time on Crossing the Goal, mustard seed, a pearl of great price. What is the kingdom of God like? Those are some of the examples that Jesus gives. The kingdom, next time, here on Crossing the Goal.